We welcome Kimberly Robinson, Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter, joining us on the phone. Kimberly, thanks so much for joining us. Give us an idea of how the Supreme Court docket is shaping up and the focus on these immigration cases.
Is an unusually large number of these cases. So many of your listeners will know that the Supreme Court is considering whether or not the Trump administration can wind down the Obama-era DACA program that's protected many Dreamers from deportation and giving them work authorization. But the court has also agreed to hear 7 other immigration cases this term, and it still has room on its docket with some potentially other very consequential immigration cases coming up to the court.
So, Kimberly, we know that the court has moved to the right during the Trump administration. Is there an expectation within your community, the legal community, about how the court maybe thinks about immigration broadly?
Well, it's important to put immigration cases kind of in 2 buckets. So we see these really high-profile immigration cases, as I mentioned, DACA, of course, the travel ban, that really go to the executive's power over immigration. And we have seen a lot of the conservatives on the court, including Trump's 2 nominees, say that the executive has a lot of authority in this area. But then there are more run-of-the-mill cases, and these cases really implicate things that are less along political and ideological lines, things that go to the heart of the separation of powers between the president and courts.
In the time we've got left with you, Kimberly, let us ask some legal 101 questions. And if you don't want to, if it's beneath you to do this, please speak up. When the president says, "I'm going to go to the Supreme Court," what actually happens? Does he send like a letter or a postcard over, help?
Well, often what he's doing is signaling to the Justice Department, and in particular the Solicitor General's office, to tell the Supreme Court that it wants it to take a look at in the administration's policy.
What does that mean, take a look? Like, is it like a formal process?
Well, in many cases, what they're doing is just asking for some temporary relief. And so we saw just the other day that the Supreme Court stayed a House subpoena, and that was one of the cases that the Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to weigh in because the lower courts were being overly aggressive.
But they delay there, don't they? I mean, it's just a matter of time before they actually, rule on a formal decision on that?
That can be the ultimate goal, and I believe that is the goal of the Trump administration in the House subpoena. Sometimes, though, it is just to buy some more time. And we've actually seen the Supreme Court give a lot of leeway to the Trump administration with these kind of temporary requests, kind of granting an unusual number to the Solicitor General's office.
Kimberly, it's noted here that typically the justices will hear between 1 and 5 immigration cases per term. They've got 8 on the docket here. Does that suggest that the president has some real influence on the court in terms of what it decides to hear?
Well, I think it really depends on who you ask to say whether what are bringing all these immigration cases. So opponents of the president's immigration policies say that he's being overly aggressive in his enforcement of immigration cases and sometimes acting illegally. The president's supporters on the other side say that Congress has really abdicated its role to fill in immigration policies and that courts are just stepping in to make it up. In reality, it's probably a little bit of both. We do know that this is a big priority for the Trump administration, and we do know that Congress has failed to really fill in the blanks for courts who are acting kind of in between the lines here.
Kimberly, thank you so much. Kimberly Robinson with us, just brilliant, really dense, wonderful writing on the Supreme Court, case by case. There's a real intelligence there within the Bloomberg Law Reporting.